Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends Accountant Radio Show. The Friends Accountant Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group, please visit our website at Friends of Kevin. So we're really excited to get Jack Wang from Longhorn Financial with us. As always, please understand Jack's on the show for informational purposes. This should not be construed as financial advice. Always seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kevin. Great to be on, as always.
So, Jack, a lot of news going on right now about proposed tax law changes. So, as we speak, what are the major changes and how would that affect the average person?
Yeah, the current administration and Congress has proposed a sweeping tax reform. So a number of the changes would be things like limiting mortgage deductions, mortgage interest deductions, eliminating deduction for student loan interest, changing some provisions around for 529 plan withdrawals, and even changing some terms around 401k withdrawals and things like that. So there's quite a number of changes, you know, tax rate changes, everything else. We'll see how it plays out, but if it does play out, it will have a big impact on sort of the average family.
So now, how about retirement? What would this mean for the average family then, Jack?
Yeah, the original fear was that the proposal was going to change how 401k, and you know, when I say 401k, I mean like 403bs and what, you know, several other types of workplace retirement plans. It was going to change how those contributions were taxed. You know, one of the reasons, you know, besides saving for retirement, that people contribute to 401ks today is that you save on taxes today, right? Because it's taken out pre-tax. The reform package originally was thought that it was going to change that so that the money that you contribute would have been after tax, and that would have ended up with people paying more taxes today. So, you know, if you normally get a refund, then perhaps you would have ended up having to owe because that all would have been after tax money.
So now, how would this provision have helped the average family then, Jack?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of screaming about it, but there's sort of this unintended benefit, and that's where a lot of the contributions would have been treated as tax-free, and that's already in the tax code. So by virtue of having a Roth IRA, a Roth 401k, and all it really means is when do you pay the taxes, right? Do you pay the taxes today when you contribute, or do you pay it later when you take it out? Regular 401ks mean you don't pay taxes today, but you pay taxes when you take it out, you know, in retirement. Roth is the exact opposite, where you pay today, but you don't pay taxes taking it out. And so that, by had this provision in the tax reform package gone through, and if it ultimately gets passed, the unintended benefit actually would have been giving people or forcing people to save and get tax-free money down the road, right? And I say it so bad, right? I'm forcing you to have tax-free money down the road. Terrible. Sounds kind of funny. But what that means is several things as it comes to retirement planning. So first of all, you know that when you take out money from a 401k today, and let's say you need to net $10,000, right? Because you need to spend it on whatever. Well, to end up with $10,000, you have to take out more than $10,000, depending on what tax bracket you're in and whether or not you owe the 10% early withdrawal penalty. So, you know, for a lot of people, if you want to net $10,000, that might mean you have to end up taking out $14,000. Well, in a Roth scenario, if you need $10,000, because the money was already taxed, you only take out $10,000 because there's no taxes on the withdrawal. So by virtue of that, what that means is you don't have to take out as much, which means that your money can last longer, obviously. But also, there's sort of these hidden parts of the tax code where when you take money out of a Roth 401k or IRA, it's not treated as income, so you can actually better manage taxes around and avoid triggering taxes on Social Security and increasing Medicare premiums. So I read a study recently where if you're much smarter about managing your taxes when you have to take all your retirement money out, you know, in retirement, but if you can be careful managing taxes, you can make your money last as many as 10 years longer than it otherwise would have.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Now, Jack, people don't often think of their savings this way. Usually it's just how much they have in stocks, bonds, and cash. It's a little bit different thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely different thinking. You're right. People think about, well, you know, we take that risk tolerance questionnaire and, you know, and based on my age, I should be this percentage in stocks, this percentage bonds, whatever, right? This is all about tax diversification, taxable, tax-free, tax-deferred. But also something else that people don't think about sort is what's guaranteed and what's not.
So talk a little bit about that, what you mean by guaranteed versus non-guaranteed, Jack, so people understand.
Yeah, when I say guaranteed versus non-guaranteed, I don't mean that you can't lose money, right? This is not like invest in the stock market and guaranteed not to ever lose money. That's not what I mean. It's money that you can't outlive. So you think about perhaps your parents or perhaps even your grandparents might have had a corporate pension and certainly Social Security. Though that's a stream of income that you can't outlive, right? So Social Security will pay you some amount for as long as you live. And so between pensions, which don't really exist, you know, for employees today, and Social Security, it forms a base of income that can cover basic expenses. My own mother does this. And for a lot of retirees who have that, it's a lot less stress if you know that your basic expenses are always being paid for because every month, no matter what happens, you're going to get that check, right? It's a nice feeling to have.
But now, Jack, one of the mistake, I guess, is what we're looking for, is that people forget that Social Security is a taxable income, right?
Yeah, it certainly can be. The only time Social Security is not taxable is if you have very little other income. And where the average Social Security benefit is only, I think, something like $1,300 per month, but that's, you know, that's a national average. $1,300 a month, you know, equates to, you know, so $1,200 a month times 12 months is $14,400. And, you know, if that's really the only source of your income and nothing else, you know, one hand, great, it's not taxable. On the other hand, that's not a lot of money, right? That's very little money to live on. So you can have Social Security be tax-free if you have basically nothing else. Terrible way to go. But Social Security is taxable. The more money you make, the more of it is taxed. And so, for example, like if you're married, filing jointly, the other income limit is only $32,000 a year for the first layer of taxation and $44,000 a year for the second and higher layer of taxation. So it's not a lot of other income where it would trigger Social Security taxes. Right? People hit it quite frequently.
It seems like a really low limit for other income. Is there similar pitfalls for Medicare too, Jack?
There is, you know, and the other thing that there is something similar for Medicare, and there's four different bands of Medicare premium, and the more money you make, the more you pay for Medicare premiums. And, you know, and sometimes when you look at the bands today, you know, people say like, oh, yeah, my income will never hit that. That's so much money. I'll never hit that. Well, that might be true, but the issue is that the Social Security bands are not, they're not indexed for inflation. So, for example, like the $32,000, the $44,000 I mentioned before, those have been that way for years. So You know, so today you might not hit those bands, but, you know, 20 years from now or 10 years from now or 30 years from now, you know, depending on however old you are, when you retire, certainly with inflation, you know, you're going to get pay raises and everything else and promotions. Well, those bands or, you know, those levels, if you will, are still going to be the same. So today may seem like a lot, but tomorrow really may not. So it's a very you have to be very careful about how you treat this. In fact, there's a term for this, especially when it comes to Social Security. It's called the tax torpedo, because the way that, in this case, Social Security taxes work is that under, you know, the normal tax code, if you go $1 over into that next bracket, whatever that is, only that $1 gets taxed at that higher rate. Not so for Social Security. If you go over by $1 into that, you know, so that next higher level, then all of your income gets included, right? So in other words, it's sort of like you can't be a little bit pregnant, right? You're either pregnant or you're not, right? So that $1 over trips, you know, over that line, you know, incurs all sorts of taxes, all sorts of extra costs and stuff. And so one, there was a study done recently for from retirees and basically asking them, you know, what expenses or what category of expenses did you sort of, weren't expecting and turned out to be larger than you thought it was. You know, of course, everybody worries about healthcare costs, right? Especially as you get older. So that's sort of, you expect that. But the one category people talked about where their expenses were much, much higher than what they originally thought was taxes for these reasons. And also Medicare premiums, right? Not really taxed, but you incur this extra income and all of a sudden, poof, you thought you were at the cheapest level for Medicare. And next thing you know, it's going to be even more, right? And so, and that creates kind of this vicious cycle. You're paying more in taxes, you're paying more in costs. Well, that takes away from money, you know, free money that you have to live. So then you have to take out more money, which then incurs more taxes and more costs, right? So on and so forth. And just, it's this killer cycle that catches people.
So Jack, regardless of what passes for tax reform, what's one step people can take to help save money for retirement today?
Yeah, one thing that people really don't think of this way, but for most people, for the average family, the biggest retirement asset they have is really Social Security, right? And people talk about how Social Security won't be there, it's going to be running out of money, I mean, whatever. You know, the truth of the matter is it will be there in some form. It may not pay you as much as what's promised today, but it'll pay you something. So one of the things that people really want to think about when it comes to retirement planning is how much are they actually going to get? Are Social Security the records of wages correct? When it comes to a married couple, there's literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of different strategies of when to claim, who should claim first, whatever. And coordinating that with taking money out from all of your other retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, whatever, can mean literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in difference. And I'll give you an example, working with a client, actually another client, they're in their upper 50s, we're doing the same exercise, and based on what they wanted to do versus the quote-unquote optimal strategy, it was actually going to make an almost $200,000 difference. And so I ran the analysis and I told them, I said, hey, you can do it your way and that's fine, but you're essentially flushing $200,000 down the toilet. Hope you don't mind. And, you know, you should have seen the looks on their faces, right? I'm sure you can only imagine.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So because it serves as such an important base for retirement income for many, many people, for most people, it's important to get that part right because it can lead to a lot more money, even if you don't have a lot of money in your 401k. You know, as Kevin, I know I've told you this, right? It's like playing a game. If you don't know the rules, and Medicare, very complicated, but if you don't know the rules, there's no way you can win the game. And by not winning the game, it again means that people are literally throwing away thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars away.
So, Jack, we got about 30 seconds left. What's your contact information before we let you run?
Yep. Email jack@longhornfin.com, or people can call me at 877-226-4157.
Jack, really appreciate you taking the time out of the day to come on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thanks, Kevin. I always appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye now.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.